This audio recording is a service of Incarnation Catholic Church, a Roman Catholic parish of the personal ordinariate of the Chair of St. Peter. We thank you for listening, and we invite you to visit us in person in Orlando, Florida, or on the web at www.ordinariate.org. The following sermon was preached on Sunday, March 17, 2024, the fifth Sunday in Lent, or Passion Sunday, by Father William Doc Holliday.
Whereas indeed he was the Son of God, he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. May the words of my mouth, the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Things ratcheted up yesterday at 3 o'clock. Before that time, we were doing Lent. Now we are in Passiontide. It ratchets things up. The first 4 weeks of Lent are being attentive and trying in some small way to imitate our Lord Jesus Christ's fast before his earthly ministry. Now we start to pay particular attention to his suffering, crucifixion, and death. This is where we concentrate, should, our thoughts for the next 2 weeks before Easter. When we think about our Lord's passion, to set the stage, we need to understand that our Lord's passion, all these horrible things, and you look at the crucifixion, oh, that was horrible, that was horrible. There were so much more horrible things that went on with our Lord that we'll hear about over the next couple weeks. This grotesque, monstrous event that happened to our Lord, the Lord of glory, the one who came down from heaven and dwelt among us for our betterment, is treated in the most abysmal of fashions, and he did everything readily and willingly, obediently. Obedience. Whereas he was Son of God, he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. This is why we learn a whole lot more from things that are bad in our lives than we learn from things that are good. We have to understand this about our human nature. It's interesting. He learned obedience by that which he suffered. Obedience is suffering. I want to focus on obedience because I said at the beginning of the liturgical year, as situation arose, I would be spending as much attention as I could to authority and order. Authority and order in our families, in our church, it's imperative. It is absolutely necessary to have authority and order. Both of those things, the hinge pin of authority and order, the hinge pin is obedience. Obedience necessitates order. That's where we get order, is obedience. And our Lord was the example of obedience. Let's look at his example for a bit. He learned obedience by things he suffered. His cross and everything. No, his incarnation. Okay? His leaving heaven. Heaven, I cannot see, nor has ear heard, nor can heart conceive of the glories that are up there. And he left it to come here at that time and endure what he did. By the time he was born, several days after he's born, he's circumcised. His whole life is horrendous, suffering. Okay, but he was obedient. This is why he has a name which is exalted above every name. We don't hear one word about him being exalted because he could walk on water, because he taught really well and confuted the Pharisees, that he raised dead people or cured blind people, lepers, nothing. We don't hear one word about it. He has a name which is of every name, that every knee should bow and every tongue confess that he is Lord, because he was obedient. Obedient to death, even the death of the cross. That is why our Lord is exalted. That being our example, this is how we in turn are exalted, our obedience. But he lives us this example. Yeah. We have to learn, he's God. Yes, he was 100% God. and 100% man. In his divinity, he was omniscient, but in his humanity, he was not. He would not have been fully man if he was born and he, you know, had the halo on his head and the little cool three fingers thing going on and, you know, knew everything. No, that wasn't Jesus. He had to learn. He had to learn like us, or he wouldn't be like us. That was one of those temptations, and everywhere we are, but yet did not sin. Okay, this is Jesus. He was God, but he had to learn, practically speaking. Okay, this is, you know, we've got to understand that, you know, when we learn things, whether it be practically or theoretically, practically hands-on stuff, theoretically reading books, no matter how it is, there's a progression of things. All right? You don't give a six-year-old a book on quantum physics. All right? Ain't going to work. All right? Just read it. It's right there. It's not going to get it. You've got to progress toward that. This is what our Lord did in his humanity. We are called to do the same thing. Obedience. I mean, you think of the Lord's obedience. It really is mind-boggling. I mean, absolutely mind-boggling. We're talking the Lord of glory, second person of the divine Trinity, eternal Son of God. He spoke, and all things leapt into existence out of nothing. And he comes down here. He's obedient to his Father, of course. But why he's down here, from the get-go, he's obedient to St. Joseph and the Blessed Virgin Mary. And as life goes on, he's obedient to the governing authorities. That whole render unto Caesar, that which is Caesar's, and to God, what's that is God. He paid taxes. I mean, we know that explicitly. He paid taxes. Okay. So he's obedient to the governmental authorities. He's even obedient to the religious authorities, even when they're wrong. Why? Because they're in authority, and he was obedient. When they sent soldiers to arrest him at night, illegally, and then had a trial at night, illegally, against the law of Moses, he didn't want Moses. You guys are violating the law of Moses. You accuse me of doing it. Look, you're doing the same thing. Nope. He just sat there with his mouth shut. He was obedient to them. God, the creator of all things, is being obedient to a laborer, Joseph, an artisan, okay? The one whose seraphim fly around 24/7 in heaven and go, holy, 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 he's obedient to a teenage girl, the Blessed Virgin Mary. You can't get your head around that, okay? And it wasn't a show. He was actually obedient. You know, that whole lose him in the temple thing. What did they, and he was submissive to them. Yeah. This is our Lord Jesus Christ. This is obedience. Obedience, you know, when we talk about obedience, because it so sticks in our craw and so goes against our nature to be obedient, and we'll get into this in a second. But when we look at it, you know, we have such a problem with obedience, but God Almighty didn't have it. He obeyed willingly and readily. Obedience is not merely doing what you're commanded to do, like your boss tells you, hey, do this or you'll get fired. Yeah, that's not a virtue. That's not a virtue that you do what he says, because you'll get fired, okay? There's a threat, all right? So it's no virtue whatsoever to grudgingly do what's commanded. Grudging obedience is no virtue. So when we look at obedience as a virtue, it is, had to be, we can't conceive of it, but it had to be a tremendous martyrdom, so to speak, for our Lord Jesus Christ to be obedient to the people he was obedient. To get crowned with thorns by creatures whom he was holding together by his divine will, letting them spit on him and hit him with reeds and punch him in the face and not say a word about it. Okay. That's obedience. Willingly and readily. It doesn't mean you want to do it, but you do it readily and willingly. The Garden of Gethsemane. Father, if there's any way you can take this chalice from me, but not my will, your will be done. Okay, here's my will. Look at him coming to get you. All righty then. Okay. He doesn't keep harping on the Father to protect him from this and protect him from that. He just readily and willingly accepts what the Father's will is. He's obedient. Obedience is tough. All right. We know how tough obedience is. This is one of those few things we can kind of understand, kind of, because we hate being obedient so much. How much more would it be for God to be obedient, to let your creature spit on you? All right. Yeah. It's overwhelming. This is why St. Thomas Aquinas says this. Obedience is the most difficult and at the same time, the most excellent of all moral virtues. You know, I almost guarantee that before I started this, like, hey, throw me out some moral virtues. I'd be getting all kinds of things. I'd be getting chastity and modesty and this, all those good things. I mean, I don't think anybody would say obedience. Why? Because we hate it that much. We just blow that whole thing off. Hey, yeah, obedience. Yeah, right, obey. Right. We don't think about it as the pinnacle of moral virtues. It's actually the moral virtue that all other moral virtues, it stems from that. This is obedience. You know, so this is our Lord as an example. Why do we, as human beings, have such a problem with obedience? I'm talking about baptized, confirmed, daily mass going, rosary saying, novena loving people have such a problem with being obedient. And believe you me, I hear about it quite frequently. Okay? The disobedience thing. Or I'll hear something, I'll say, you know, that's that. Well, I don't know if this is it. Yeah, it's disobedience. Okay? It's horrible for us to be obedient. We are naturally inclined to command. That sounds arrogant. That's how we were made, what we were made for. Adam and Eve, what did God do with that? He creates them and says, what? You're in charge of this whole thing. You are in charge of everything in this garden. And then he makes Eve, and he doesn't create her and go, hey, you make his dinner while he's in charge. No, she helps him command things. She's his helper. They are created to take charge. And then there's the fall. What caused the fall? Disobedience. You know, we always go, the fall, the fall, the fall. What caused the fall? Disobedience. Because if you're going to run things like God made them to do, if you're going to run things, you have to have proven that you can be obedient. Okay? When I was in the Marine Corps, when I was a cop, you know, you get promoted to a supervisory position. You don't promote people into supervisory positions who have a history of disobedience. Because why? You want them to follow your orders so that they will implement them with their troops. Okay? That's just a no-brainer. So when God puts them in the garden, he says, I want you to do this. How does he see if they're going to be obedient to him? Yeah, do everything, but there's this one tree here. And that wasn't just an exercise, an arbitrary, hey, there's one tree, don't eat of it, because I want to see if you're... It was for their downfall if they did eat it. He knew what was good for them, so he said, don't eat of that tree. So they had a test. Run everything, but be obedient. We know the story. Disobedience, sin. There are consequences to sin. One of the consequences to sin, I mean, of which there are many, this is going to happen, that's going to happen, you're going to this, you're going to have that, that. One of the major consequences of sin was, now, you who are made to command, you're going to be under the thumb of everybody. You know, I mean, look at our lives nowadays, right? You know, look how this pans out. You know, kids don't like to do what their parents say. I can't wait till I get, I've heard this from like 12 and 13. I can't wait till I grow up and get out of the house. How stupid are you? Because then you got bosses and landlords and teachers and you got all your, everybody's telling you what to do. I'm self-employed and I'm a millionaire. You pay taxes or you go to jail. Why? Because you got to be obedient to the government. All right? That's just the reality that we hate it. You do everything we can to be disobedient. All right? I can say that. I'm talking about myself. You know, this is easy for me to throw out because I know me. Obedience ain't a thing I like. All right? None of us like it. There are some of us like me that are even worse. All right? Hate it. It goes against our nature, but it's a result of the fall. And it's one of those things that we have to suffer to get on that road to moral virtue, to perfection. When we talk about obedience, we have to understand it as a penance. Obedience is a penance. It's a penance for what we have, for original sin. It's just one of those temporal consequences. Yeah, we're not held account for original sin anymore, but there are still temporal consequences. And one of those, God said that to Eve. A lot of people, they misread when it says in the Bible, when he's given out the punishments and everything, and he says, and your desire will be for your husband. A lot of people read that and go, oh, she always wants to be with him? No, it's just the opposite. Her desire is for his position. Because after that it was, yeah, you are to obey him. He's now the head of you. And she hates it. Look at our society nowadays. Heck, it's a liturgical option. You can leave that obey part out. Not in this parish, we don't. Can't get married here unless that part's in there, because that's a well-ordered Catholic family. All right? This is a reality. We have to obey. And if you, let's leave that obey part out. Go to hell then. Literally. This is how this works. Obedience is imperative for us to go to heaven. That's just that's God. Obedience is so important. 1 Chronicles 15. Obedience is better than any sacrifice. Not most sacrifices, not just your mundane everyday sacrifices. Obedience is better than any sacrifice. Why? Any sacrifice that you give. You chuck some cash into the plate, all right? Or you give of your time or your talents, whatever it is. It's all exterior. It's all exterior. You throw the cash thing, it's gone. Yeah, it's kind of painful for a couple seconds, but then you just move on. Okay, it's exterior. It doesn't go. When we're obedient, it is interior. Obedience is a sacrifice that we make from it's a moral sacrifice. It's a moral martyrdom, as one of the early church fathers says. It's an oblation of our will. Because why? We have free will. Everybody has free will. Okay? We love the free will part until we get called on it. Okay? Adam and Eve had free will, then they're all in trouble. Okay, look, that's why we have demons. They were angels, and they use their free will negatively. Now there's consequences. All right? There are just consequences to our actions. So, when we are obedient, we love to use our free will, particularly when we like whatever, all right? But when we use it and there are consequences for it, then we want to complain about it. When we are obedient, we are giving a sacrifice of our free will. I want this. You might even know you're right. That when somebody's in a position of authority and they tell you to do something different, I don't mean sin. We'll get into that in a little bit. But at the end of the day, we're talking about you must be obedient to the authority. This is the whole commandment. This is how much we try to limit the discussion on obedience so much. Let's leave it out of the liturgy for the matrimony. Let's not talk about it too much. Let's talk about the commandment of honor your father and mother. Well, yeah, they're father and my mother, and I love them. That commandment is not just for your parents. That commandment is for every single person who's put in authority, pagan or not, that's been to put authority over you. In church, in the world, in the house, every single person, when you're subject to them, when they say something, whether you like it or not, is a moral martyrdom. You are giving of your own free will. And again, you can actually even think you're right. You can know you're right. You can know you're right, but you need to obey. This is how things work, right? I throw out, not infrequently, like times when the bishop calls me and tells me to do something or not do something. It's usually not to do something. Hey, you're doing this in Mass. You shouldn't really be doing that. Oh, yeah, okay. Yeah. Guess what? I can be... He's made some statements about, we don't be doing this. And I'm well, why not? The church has always done it. It represents this. We can do it. That's going on in the ticker here. But guess what? I don't do it anymore. Why? Because Was I right? Yes, I was. But I don't do it. Because why? That's obedience. Okay? I don't like it, but I did it immediately. And I didn't argue too much about it. Okay? And that's the kind of things come up. And, you know, this is just the way we have to approach this obedience. Because when we do it, it's for our perfection. Saint Teresa said, I quote, "No path leads so quickly to the summit of perfection as the path of obedience." Okay? This is what leads you to perfection if you're obedient, because it puts order in your life, and it takes a lot of decisions out of your hands that we like to make that could get us in trouble. All right? So this is a quick, as she says, it's the quickest way to get to the summit of perfection. But she goes on to say, "Hence the evil enemy endeavors by all means to deter us from this practice." Satan's, if he hits anything, it's obedience. We live in a society where society tells, what do kids run around saying? "You're not the boss of me. You're not the boss." We got so many bosses, it's ridiculous. "You're not the boss of me." You know, in our own Catholic families, we got marriages that are starting out with women not saying that they want to obey their husbands. Okay? That's sin. Okay? Because Ephesians says you have to. All right? Oh, let's just not talk about it, and we're just going to have to go on. Yeah, yeah, right, whatever. Well, I can't believe why we have as many problems as the world. Disobedience. Disobedience. We hate it. We hate to be obedient. All right? Satan does everything he can, and it's so subtle. Because why? Because just like with Eve, when we are given a command by a superior that's been there, placed in authority over us in God's providence, when we are commanded to do something, we are commanded to do it promptly and without deliberation. It is not up to you as a subordinate to deliberate something that someone told you. Now, if you got something to say about it, I'm not talking about, hey, do this. I did that last week and something broke or somebody got hurt. Oh, okay. That's not disobedience. That's not deliberation. You're just throwing out some facts. All right. But I'm talking about like Eve. You know? If Eve had been obedient, this is how this would have panned out. What you looking at? That tree over there. Does God really say, yes, he did, so you can go on? That would have been obedience. All would have been well. But has God really said, well, yeah, he said that. He said that. You won't surely die. Really? I won't surely die? He said we would. Oh, I'm telling you, you won't. Well, really? And then it says, and she looked upon the tree, and it was beautiful to behold, it's good to the sight, and everything. So he deliberating in her mind, and then what happens? Disobedience, bingo. Okay? He's subtle on that. You know? I mean, I get a lot of questions about things going on in the church now. If I have to obey him, I would obey because he this. That. It doesn't matter. It was just this week, somebody after Bible study came up, got me a hallway, and said, hey, how was it worded? It was, what do you think about that? I said, it doesn't make one bit of difference what I think about it. It's, he's this, and you do what he says. All right? You just do what he says, because you've been put up with a lot of people. Well, what if he makes me do something wrong? Well, something wrong is one thing, sin's another. Again, hold that thought. You know, guess what? Another example. This is hypothetical. Bishop has never done this before. I know he wouldn't, so I'll use this as an example. My phone rings today, and it's him, and I go, hey, what's going on? He goes, hey, you know, next week, yeah, I know how you do things there, but I want you to, but I'm going to use that one because it might ruffle some feathers. Anyway, I'll use another one. He did call me, and we had a discussion about Latin Mass. Okay? Hey. The Latin Mass, you receive more graces than you do from this one. Objectively. Okay? All right? That's just me saying this. People that aren't Latin Mass people say, Scott Hahn. Scott Hahn is not a Latin Mass guy. He's a Novus Ordo dude. All right? And he didn't know anything about the Latin Mass until all the big controversy came up. He said, I went to a Latin Mass. He said, I got to admit, objectively, the Latin Mass is the best Mass at presenting traditional Catholicism. Hands down, just objectively, that's the case. All right? So, with that, you know, and I'm a big, huge Latin Mass guy. Having one Tuesday night, if you're interested, St. Joseph. The Latin Mass, why? Because it's the Mass of the ages. The Church has said, Mother Church has said, this is the Mass of all times. Okay? Well, until the 1960s. No, the Church said this is the Mass of all times. That's a good thing. All right? I love the Latin Mass. I asked the bishop, I said, hey, can I say Latin Mass once a week? He said, no. I said, okay. He said, once a month. You know, this not have to do with private Masses that are said. Okay. But I'm talking about regularly scheduled Masses like Tuesday night. You know, once a month. Can I make the big argument? It's the Mass of the ages, Your Excellency. Come on. You're killing me with that. No. We have a Latin Mass once a month, a public Latin Mass, okay? That's just the reality of things. He says it, I don't know. Could I deliberate and say, I'm keeping these people from having these graces, so I'm going to be disobedient because that would be a sinful thing for me? No, it's not. If he called me up next week, oh my gosh, a little vomit comes out of my mouth. If he said, from now on, you're just going to do the Novus Ordo Mass, I'll make that look a whole lot different than it does normally. But if he said that, guess what? Guess what? I might feel bad and have to have early retirement, but I would do it. I would hate with every fiber of my being, but I would do it. And I would do it when he said to do it, because he's a bishop. And guess what? If there's any sin involved, I'm not accountable. He is. Because he's my authority. He told me. So punt. Obedience is actually, if you look at it right, it's a punt. Okay? Hey, he told me to do it. And as long as it's not sin, that's it. I said, hold that thought. A lot of people ask, well, how obedient? You have to be obedient until it makes you sin. It is that simple. A monosyllabic, one-word answer. Sin. And not think something that you might determine is a sin. All right? You need to do what you're told. I need to do what I'm told. No matter who the person is, if they are in legitimate authority. This is part of suffering. This is how we learn obedience, like Jesus. Okay? And I said before, you do it or go to hell. All right? I didn't come up to be dramatic about anything. I just used the last verse of the second reading today. Jesus became, to all who obey him, the cause of eternal salvation. Notice it does not say what everybody would love it to say. Jesus became the cause of eternal salvation. It does not say that. It says that Jesus became eternal salvation for all those who obey him. So, you know, as you kind of chew on this one, and as disturbing as it is, you know, I've had to talk about it, and it keeps bugging me every time I do. It's that important. It's what gets us into heaven. Thus saith the Lord. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost.